Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Simchat Torah, Simchas Torah in the Yiddish pronunciation, means rejoicing in the Torah. This holiday, which takes place right after Sukkot, marks the completion of the annual cycle of weekly Torah readings. Each week in synagogue, we publicly read a few chapters from the Torah, starting with Genesis chapter 1 and ending with Deuteronomy 34. On Simchat Torah, we read the last Torah portion and then the first chapter of Genesis, reminding us of the cyclical nature of the relationship between the Jewish people and the reading of the Torah. As part of the celebration, the Torah scrolls are taken from the Ark and carried or danced around the synagogue 7 times. This is accompanied by singing, dancing, and flag waving, all of which symbolize the collective joy of Torah study and a commitment to lifelong Jewish learning. Waving flags on this holiday is especially popular among children, but the origin of making, decorating, and carrying them is unclear. Some scholars hold that marching with flags recaptures the history of the 12 ancient tribes of Israel, when each tribe had its own banner. Another custom is to put an apple on top of the flagstaff, or an apple with a hole carved out for a lighted candle, to evoke images of the Torah as light. This story, The Simchas Torah Flag by Shalom Aleichem, talks about this custom and how important having a flag was to poor children growing up in Eastern Europe in the 19th century. This version is from Yiddish Stories for Young People, compiled and edited by Itchy Goldberg, and published by Kinderbuch Publishers in 1987. Children, I will tell you a story about a flag. How I, a poor boy, got a flag for Simchas Torah. How hard it was for me to get it and how easily I lost it. To have my own flag for Simchas Torah, a real flag with a good, strong stick and an apple on the point of it, and in the apple a pretty candle, this seemed to me to be such good fortune that I was afraid even to think about it. So many wonderful things there are in this world. There are boys in my heder, in my school, who have enough money to buy their own pocket knives or handy little purses to hold their money in. There are even boys who buy candy every day, and then there are some who eat white bread on weekdays. Such luck! But children, that wasn't my luck. I never ate white bread on weekdays. I was happy to have enough bread. But children, that wasn't my luck. I never ate white bread on weekdays. I was happy to have enough black bread to eat because our family was terribly poor. And who even thought of having a penny in one's pocket to spend as one liked? So just imagine what happened when I, Tupul Tutaritu, suddenly came into riches and had my own 22 cents. My real name was Kupul. They called me Tupul Tutaritu because I was then unable to pronounce a K or a G. It happened on Purim. My father sent me out to deliver the shalach monis, the gifts, to our friends, and the tips that people gave me that year amounted to 22 cents. Possessed of such a great fortune, I go about and think, what do you do? May no evil befall me. Possessed of so great a fortune, I go about and think, what do you do? May no evil befall me with so much money. So, There arise inside of me to torment me and weary me the spirit of evil and the spirit of good. Says the evil one, what are you holding on to the groschens for, fool? Says the evil one, what are you holding on to the coins for, foolish fellow? Get yourself something. Buy some almonds. There are sweet ones at Pirindichki's stall. Buy some flat cakes with honey farful, or at least a frozen apple to give you some joy. Yield to my gut, I say to myself, and in one day eat up all of my money? I won't do it. Right, says the good spirit. It would be much better to lend the few coins to mother. She'll be able to make use of them. Wise guy, I say, then they'll be gone for good. Where'll she get the money to repay me? She struggles so, poor thing, the spirit of good says, and pays for your tuition. Why should you be concerned about tuition, the evil one asks. Buy yourself a little clay whistle with red dots, a sharp knife with two blades, and a metal case, or perhaps a change purse with a good clasp. And what will you keep in the change purse, my good spirit asks. What, your poverty? Buttons, says the evil one. You'll stuff the purse with buttons so they'll think it's money. All the fellows will envy you. What's the good of that? The good spirit asks. Listen to me. Divide the money among the poor. Be charitable. You'll be earning a mitzvah. The poor are starving for hunger. Poor people, the evil one exclaimed. You yourself are a poor one. You yourself are always hungry. Everyone is generous with the other fellow's money. Why hasn't anyone given to you when you were in need? May it not be again. At one point, the evil spirit was just on the verge of persuading me. In Hader, I had a friend, Joel, the son of a wealthy man. He always had pockets full of goodies, but he disliked giving anything away, not even if you were to prostrate yourself full length, if only for a sniff of them. Suddenly, Joel began befriending me, always smiling to me, so friendly. In short, two souls like one. Do you know, he remarked, you're a fine fellow, true as I'm a Jew. I like you, if only for this. You dislike to beg, as others do. Give me a piece, just a tiny piece. I can't bear those beggars. Do you want a piece of candy? A piece of candy, I say, why not? Well, he said, would you like to crack a couple of nuts? Nuts, I say, why not? If I had them, I would trap them. Joel sticks his hand into his pocket. I think he's just about to take something out to give me. Instead, he says to me, I'll give you half my marmalade and three nuts if you'll make an exchange with me. Do you want to exchange? Exchange, I say. What would we change with? I'll give you, he says, my pocket knife. Sure, you know my pocket knife. It's a dandy, a peach of a pocket knife. Some question. Do I know Joel's pocket knife? Who doesn't? How many times I envied him that knife. How many times I dreamed of it. Well, and I say, what'll I give you for it? And you, he says, you will give me the silver coin you have. Take it, my evil spirit said to me, take it. It's a dandy knife. All the fellows will envy you. I'm just about to take out my money, but quickly I stop myself. Some wise guy, I say. For that silver coin, I can buy myself a new pocket knife. A knife like that, Joel says. Purim, when they serve the coal pudding. Listen. A knife like that, Joel says. Listen, you know what? I'll give you half a dozen bone buttons in addition. For money, I say, I can buy 10,000 dozen buttons. So, he says, and candy and nuts don't cost money? I promise you that every time you ask for them, I'll give them to you, sure as I'm a Jew. And look here, here's an iron nail. See? I'll give you this nail for nothing. Do you see the kind of nail it is? What do I need nails for, I say. It'll be useful to you, he says. Very useful, you simp. You can drive it in wherever you want. You can even dig holes with it. What, I ask, do I need to dig holes for? He says, I'll even let you pray with my prayer book. I'll even let you pray with my prayer book, he says. Why, I ask, do I need to pray in somebody else's prayer book? I'll let you, he says, I'll let you try on my Sabbath hat. Why, I say, do I need to try on someone else's Sabbath hat? So, you don't want it? Take this. Joel gives me a poke in the ribs. How do you like this, pauper? Here I give him so many things, a pocket knife and buttons and candy and nuts and a nail and a prayer book and a hat to try on, and he doesn't want it. A pauper's gut. No matter how much you stuff into it, it's still not enough. Thinks because he's got a silver coin, he's really somebody. Wait, Tupala Tuturitu. Someday you'll come asking things from me. Boy, will you get it. Nochem, here, I want to give you this nail. Joel gave the nail to Nochem, a poor kid who was lame in one leg, and stopped being friends with me. I thought about what to buy for a long time and decided to put the money away until Sukkos and get myself a flag. Well, in God's good time, Sukkos came, and I bought myself a flag, a big yellow one printed on both sides. One side had a picture of two animals with faces like cats, but which really were lions with open mouths and long tongues, and their mouths were flutes. One side had a picture of two animals with faces like cats, but which really were lions with open mouths and long tongues, and in their mouths were flutes. That was only one side of the flag. The other side was even prettier. It had a picture of Moses and Aaron, like real. After I bought the flag, I went to Reb Ziyama, the carpenter, to have a stick put on it. What is it you want, Topala Tuturitu? A stit for the flag. And what is a stit? He asked. A stit of wood, so I tentarried the flag. Reb Ziyama made fun of me so long that I started to cry. Then he was sorry and put away the work he'd been doing, took a piece of wood, a cut here and a whittle there, and he was finished. Later, I attached the flag to the stick and stuck a red apple on the point and lit a candle which I fixed in the apple. I set out for the synagogue, happy and proud as a prince. I imagined myself in the synagogue with all the other children. The lights burned brightly. My flag was the prettiest of them all. My apple was redder than all the others. My candle was larger and burned better than all the candles. Well, Mazel Tov, Topala Tuturitu has a new flag. Well, Mazel Tov, Topala Tuturitu has a new flag. With this hearty welcome, my friends in our gang met me near the door of the synagogue. I looked around and examined all the flags and compared them with mine. They weren't even close. They had no business even to be in the same room with mine. First of all, the flag itself. None of the others was so expertly attached to the stick. Nobody else's stick was so straight and rounded and smooth. Nobody had such a big red apple or such a good candle. Let's see it, said Joel, the rich man's son, who had been standing open-mouthed, amazed by my flag. He examined my flag. I examined his flag. What a shabby stick his had, bent like a fork. I saw how envious he was, but pretended not to notice. "Couple," he said to me, "where did you get this?" "Why?" I asked. "Maybe you'd like to trade it for your piece of junk?" Joel was stung by this insult. He rolled his eyes, blew his nose, stuck his hands in his pocket, and stepped back. I looked at him and smiled and enjoyed myself. I saw him call Nachum to one side and whisper something to him as he kept pointing to me with his eyes, but I acted as though I saw nothing. A moment later, Nachum came over to me carrying Joel's flag. "Let me light my candle off of yours. Mine went out," he said. "It's not even your flag," I said as I tipped my flag over to give him a light. "I know whose it is." Nachum lit his candle, and before I knew what was happening, he had touched the flame to my flag. In an instant, it caught fire. In an instant, it caught fire, blazed up, and was gone. If a rock had fallen from the sky and struck me on the head, if a tiger had pounced on me, I would have been no more shocked than I was as I watched my pretty flag going up in smoke. A cry tore out of my heart. "Oh, my flag, my flag, my flag!" Tears poured from my eyes. The whole world grew dark. The stick fell out of my hand, and I ran away from there wildly. I ran unseeingly all the way home and hid myself in a corner, and in the dark I put my head on my knees and wept bitterly but silently so that no one would see me or hear me. But since today is a holiday, especially Simchas Torah, a happy holiday, I want to finish this story with a happy ending. First, you see that I didn't die, thank God. Second, I want you to know that the year after this happened, I had an even better flag with a bigger stick, and I sat proudly in the synagogue with all the other kids and their flags, and the candles burned gaily, and mine shone just as brightly as all the others. Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you, so please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. I'll leave you now with Amen, Amen, Shemnora, a widespread Sephardi liturgical piece for Simchat Torah. It was included in one of the earliest printed collections of religious Hebrew poems in 1545. This version is sung by Abraham Lopez Cardozo from the CD The Western Sephardi Liturgical Tradition. See you next week.
Amen, 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 Shem Nora. Amen, amen, amen. El adir nora ve'ayom le'amecha tenaf idyom v'ibarech etchem hayom ve'imru kol hangam amen 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 shem nora amen 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 el adir ונורא יגדיל וידיר התורה ויפתח לנו שערי אורה ואמרו כל העם אמן 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 שם נורא אמן 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 נא אלדל שואל שבע כי עלינו לשבח בשיר מזמור למנצח ובירושלים אמן 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 שם נורא אמן 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 ועשיר בשיר ושבח בשיר מזמור למנצח ונאמר עלינו לשבח ואמרו כל העם אמן 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 שם נורא אמן אמן אמן